From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Thy Will Be Done, Submission to the Will of Our Heavenly Father, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's devotional asks the question, What sanctifies our offerings? The text is found in Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 7. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord. The altar of incense is the place where saints present their prayers and praises, and it is delightful to think of it as sprinkled with the blood of the great sacrifice. This it is which makes all our worship acceptable with Jehovah. He sees the blood of His own Son, and therefore accepts our homage. It is well for us to fix our eyes upon the blood of the one offering for sin. Sin mingles even with our holy things, and our best repentance, faith, prayer and thanksgiving could not be received of God were it not for the merit of the atoning sacrifice. Many sneer at the blood, but to us it is the foundation of comfort and hope. That which is on the horns of the altar is meant to be prominently before our eyes when we draw near to God. The blood gives strength to prayer, and hence it is on the altar's horns. It is before the Lord, and therefore it ought to be before us. It is on the altar before we bring the incense. It is there to sanctify our offerings and gifts. Come, let us pray with confidence. Since the victim is offered, the merit has been pleaded. The blood is within the veil, and the prayers of believers must be sweet unto the Lord.
Oh,
you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Today, Dr. Cairns continues an examination of the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Will Be Done. Now, there are wrong ways to say, Thy Will Be Done, ways which evidence a bitter resentment or a hopeless despair. The only proper way to pray this petition is in trusting submission, committing all to God's loving care. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called, Thy Will Be Done, Submission to the Will of Our Heavenly Father.
We read in chapter 1 of Job of the tremendous catalogue of disasters that befell him one after another. Can you imagine? Try to put this beyond the page of Scripture. Lift it beyond the realm of literature. Bring it into your own life and experience. Try to put yourself in Job's shoes. He's a real flesh and blood character. And he finds, first, that all his possessions are destroyed. Then he finds all his children are wiped out in a single day. From being one of the richest men, he becomes one of the poorest. From being the father of a united and happy family, he now finds himself bereft of all his children. Heartbroken, wearied in mind and body, and under the attack of the devil, not knowing what is happening, why God is allowing these things. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We have read in chapter 2 how when his own body became the target of satanic attack, when he was losing health and he was living in great pain. I don't know if you paid attention, but from head to toe he was afflicted with boils. It's easy to read that. What must it have been for Job to be afflicted from head to toe? He was in utter physical agony. He was in utter misery. And with all that, he had Satan pounding away at his mind. And then, to make matters even worse, he had his wife come along and say, "Curse God." Or literally, "Say goodbye to God and lie down and die." Job answered, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What, shall we not receive good at the hand of the Lord? And shall we not receive evil?" Evil meaning calamity here. Can we not take it when things are going bad? Then the Lord adds something very, very significant. In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. When you think of what David said in Psalm 116, "I believed, therefore have I spoken." There's the testimony of faith. It's lovely when a Christian gives the testimony of faith, when what you believe comes bubbling out of your mouth. But then he went on to say, "I was greatly afflicted, and I said in my haste." My, that's not the testimony of faith. Now we come to the testimony of frustration. And David, mighty man of God though he was, said, "When I was afflicted, I was guilty, not of speaking in faith, but speaking in frustration." Job, afflicted much more, did not sin with his lips. Why? From his heart. In a trusting submission, he was honestly saying, "Thy will be done." That's what the Lord Jesus is teaching us in the text. Isn't it how he lived his own life? In the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done." When God the Father had hidden the mysteries of the kingdom from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes, the Lord Jesus said, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." That's how he lived his life. That's how the great saints have lived their lives. We have had occasion in the recent past to speak of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, who said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy will." This is the attitude the Savior is teaching us. "Thy will be done." Let me say three things, and I know time has far gone, and I will abbreviate these greatly. But I want us, as we consider this morning, I want us to realize that this attitude of submission to the will of God as the purpose of our wise and loving Father in heaven, it does three things. First, it concentrates our attention on the perfections of our Father. And that's very important. The tendency for us all is to concentrate our attention on the here and now, on the immediate, on the circumstances, on the things that are making an impact upon us at that time. Whether it's sickness, or whether it's trouble in business, or trouble in the family, or depression of mind, or whatever, we tend to concentrate on the immediate, on the things of time and sense. And the more we concentrate upon those, the more we're losing sight of the perfections of our Father. I'm sure you have proved for yourself that you can go out on a bright sunny day. You can take a little coin the size of a dime and put it up in front of your eye, and if you put it close enough, you blot out the entire sun. The sun is still shining. What you have to concentrate on is really, in the great scheme of things, nothing at all. But it blots out the sun nonetheless, effectively. And that's what happens when we get our attention on the things, the circumstances, to the exclusion of our God. We get up close to these things so much, we concentrate so nearly upon these things, that we put the dime of our circumstances right up close to our eyes, and we blot out the sun of the perfections of our God. When Jesus says, pray, thy will be done, he is saying that we must immediately recognize the necessity of getting beyond the circumstances and concentrating on the perfections of our Father. He is our God. He is all-powerful. He is all-wise. He is all-good. Now, whatever he does, whether I understand it or whether I don't understand it, it is right. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 137, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Whatever the Lord does is right. Not only so, whatever the Lord does is good. In the same psalm, in verse 68, the psalmist says, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Now, when we focus our attention on the perfections of our Father, we will be able to pray, thy will be done. The second thing that this attitude behind this prayer will do is to create real peace in our own soul. When we see the perfections of our God, and we say then, thy will be done, that will bring a peace to the heart, despite all circumstances. It brings a great peace to the soul. Let me give you an example, two extremes. When I was minister in our church in Ballymoney, I had a call one day. When I say a call, I'm using that in the British sense. Somebody came and knocked my door. A person I didn't really know, except that she lived nearby. And for some reason or other, she'd never been to talk to me. She'd never been in our church. But for some reason or other, she wanted to talk to me that day. She was in deep distress. Deep agony and awful depression. There was a blackness cast across her life, and I began to wonder what can have happened here. As I talked to her, it turned out that this young woman, just barely over 30 years of age, with a beautiful home, we would say well off, though at that point in time with a slight cash crunch crisis. Did I get that right? That's an American one I learned since I came here. But a slight lack of money flowing through the purse at that particular time. But beautiful home, well off, lovely family. Devoted husband who had a great job, future was rosy. What had her so much in agony. Well, they had just moved into this lovely new home. They'd spent all her money getting everything just right. The furnishings, the carpets, everything was just right. And they just brought in this massive big freezer. And she was so depressed because that month she didn't have the money to fill it. And she was honestly depressed. I'm not making light of her depression. It was real. She was as depressed as if her husband were unfaithful instead of faithful. She was as depressed as if she had lost her house and still instead of just having moved into it. She was depressed as if she were sitting in orange boxes instead of top-rate furniture. She had lost perspective. She was in such depression. No peace. Way out in the countryside, what we called the County Derry, I would set out in my car, go across the River Bann and away out into a little country road, not more than 1.5 times the breadth of that centre aisle. And I would go up there to a little house that sat on the edge of a field where there lived an old woman alone. When you went to that door, you rattled it good and hard to make sure the rats would hear you coming and get out of your way before you went in. She was as poor as a person could be. She was almost deaf and almost totally blind. When you went there, you never heard a mourning, a moping, a moaning, a complaining. It was a time when I could go in and sit beside her, throw up my chair beside hers on an old, cracked, dirty stone floor. We could open the Bible and I could read the scripture she could no longer read herself, and we could talk about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What's the difference? The difference was in a relationship with God as Father. One had no joy of that, and the other, despite every circumstance, had a peace in knowing her Father ruled it all. As the psalmist said in Psalm 18, verse 30, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." His way is perfect. I don't understand all that's happening now, but He's making my way perfect. As was said of the Lord Jesus in Mark 7:37, He hath done all things well. And when you recognize that and stay your mind upon the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, your God and your Father, in all His perfections, you can then enter into the promise of Isaiah 26 and verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee." Thy will be done.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.